Shut up and sit down.
The All-Star break is upon us in the National Hockey League. Tim Benz with you, Breakfast with Benz podcast. Pleased to be joined, as we always are, once a week to talk hockey with Brian Metzer of the Pittsburgh Penguins Radio Network. Mets is on intermissions post-game. Pens live weekly on Saturdays. Mets, good to get a little downtime for yourself, I imagine, this week.
I'm loving it, Tim. I was anxiously awaiting this little bit of a blip in the NHL schedule because it seems like the Penguins have played every other day, and you know how that gets. It just becomes a little bit of a grind. I know we're not out there playing the game, but it's still tough to put in all the time and effort and all of that stuff. So it'll be a nice chance for us to kind of recharge, just like the players.
And invent new ways of saying, what's going on with these guys? Are they any good or not?
Who are the Pittsburgh Penguins? Can the real version of them please stand up? Because they've looked like every kind of version of themselves throughout this season, right? I mean, they've looked like the best team in the league. They've looked like the worst team in the league. They've been mediocre. And I don't know. I mean, it's so hard to get a line on what they are. They can score with the best of them sometimes. They let up goals with the best of them a lot of times. And I just feel like this is a very good chance for them to recharge, specifically with some older guys on this roster, Tim, to take advantage of this downtime and get ready for part two of the season.
When part two of the season comes around, what, if any, changes will we see? Because it seems like they're so restricted with the cap, they're not going to be able to make any.
Yeah, that's a big key. I mean, they are right up against it salary cap-wise, which is why if they do make any trades, you have to assume it's going to be a hockey trade of some sort where, you know, you move out an underperforming player potentially for another team's underperforming player to just see if a change of scenery can make the difference. Or you do that trade just to open it up and say, we'll give you this guy for some picks or something. But a lot of times, no one wants your a mediocre guy unless you're willing to help them out too. They're not just going to give you cap space. That's why you see those deals where so often people are like, and I'm just going to throw this name out as an example. We'll take Kasperi Kapanen if you give us a second round pick with him, just to give you a third round in exchange or something like that. So I don't know what they can really do now. They're really up against it. And it's funny though, Tim, because Ron Hextall, I know he was at a Canadian junior hockey all-star game this week when everybody was acting as if he got sucked up by aliens, you know, and they were trying to act like he was not around. And that was kind of a line of questioning and writing for a couple of outlets. But people who were paying attention realized that he didn't just vanish. He had, you know, responsibilities to do. Now that said, he has been a little bit derelict in duty of not necessarily doing anything to kind of help this team out. I mean, there were, with all these injuries and all these other things, you wonder, you know, are there going to be trades made? I mean, like we just said, you got to find the right suitors, but I think there are deals if you find those cap for cap type players that you can swap.
I keep coming back to the phrase, I understand why they kept the band together. I just want to know why they had to keep all the roadies too.
That's a great way of saying it. And when you look at it now, I mean, there's two albatross contracts on this roster right now, and it's Jeff Carter and Kasperi Kapanen. Carter's was signed last year. Kapanen, they did not have to sign that deal. I'm still not sure why they did. He gave them no reason to believe that this year would be any different than the last couple of seasons. But in doing so, they kind of hamstrung themselves a little bit. I don't know that based on the production that they're getting that they should have brought Danton Heinen back, because you could have used Drew O'Connor or somebody in that role. O'Connor has actually started to develop a little bit here and look pretty darn good lately. And had you just had him filling the spot of those two guys with maybe another guy from Wilkes-Barre Scranton, you'd have a lot more flexibility. So to your point, they definitely kept the roadies along with the band. And I think the band is doing their job. I mean, the big guys maybe still aren't playing the best defensive hockey, but if they score now, it's usually coming from Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, Chris Letang's involved when he's healthy, and the guys playing alongside that trio take care of business. I mean, the wingers in the top six have been fairly productive as of late as well. So it's the bottom six that's a mess, and they don't really have the latitude to bring anybody else in to fix it.
Brian Metzer with his Pittsburgh Penguins Radio Network. One thing that concerns me, Mets, is I look at them and they seem like they're holding on for dear life. And if they do manage to qualify for the postseason again, continuing their streak since Crosby's second year, Malkin's first year, that's all well and good, but if they limp into the playoffs and they get the Bruins or the Hurricanes, that's akin to, well, if the Steelers had gotten in and had to go to Buffalo in round one.
Yeah, I mean, they've proven that they can play with either of those teams. They do come up a goal short normally when they do.
Right.
But and that would be a big-time problem in a playoff matchup, of course. But they are absolutely doomed, too, if they don't have a healthy Tristan Jarry at this point, because that's what really bothers me about this situation, Tim, is if you look back over the last handful of years, you can make a case that goaltending has been, and it's usually the lack thereof of a goalie because of an injury, has ruined the last, you know, 4 to 5 years of the Crosby Malkin era in which they could have made runs. Because first you had the Matt Murray inability to outduel the Washington Capitals the way Marc-Andre Fleury did in the last cup run. And so he ended up coming in and losing that matchup in 18. Then you had the situation where, you know, Tristan Jarry kind of did what he did against the Islanders and all of that. And I think I skipped a year there already. But then he was injured. Casey DeSmith injured. These guys not available. So you had Louis Domingue. You have Casey DeSmith at times. And they just did not have the bodies available to play net for them come playoff time. And so that's as big a problem as any if you go up against the Bruins or Hurricanes. The way those teams play, the way that they score, if you don't have a goaltender capable of making a big save when you need it, which I don't know that they have right now, and that's not a knock on Casey DeSmith because he can from time to time make some quality saves for them, I think they're dead in the water just right there. So I think coming out of this break, if Jari's not ready, that's probably as worrisome as anything else.
Yeah, the bubble in Canada was the 1 year I think you were skipping there, but that falls, you could say that falls under the same umbrella too. I mean, they're going up against Carey Price, so maybe it's not the same thing. But yeah, I get your overall point, and I would also consider DeSmith one of those roadies.
You're right. I thought they would have gone another direction with the backup goaltender, and if you think about it, it was their refusal to play Tristan Jarry in that Montreal series in the bubble that probably was a difference maker, because he looked pretty darn good when they finally put him in there, but it was too little too late, and then they ended up losing the game. So I kind of felt like they may have gone another direction for a backup goaltender. I do think they've upgraded the third spot on the roster because Dustin Tokarski has quality NHL experience. He had some quality starts over the course of his NHL career with time in Tampa and in Montreal and even with the Sabres, and with a good team in front of him, as he showed when he was playing these couple games for the Penguins recently, he can make some big saves for you. But that's not something you want to even have to think about. You need your top tier goaltender to be available to you to go into the playoffs. And honestly, if you go back to the 16 and 17 runs, Tim, both of those years, they had goaltending injury scares going into the playoffs. You had Jeff Zatkoff have to kick off the first one for them. Mr. Game One, or whatever they were calling him, when he came in legendary fashion and won that game, only to lose game two, which we had him on the network a couple times, Tim, and he makes light of it. He goes, "Let's not talk about that. I'm Mr. Game One." He just wants to remember that. But then you had Matt Murray dealing with injuries, and Fleury had to come in, and that was a luxury that the Penguins had, those two guys. And I don't think a lot of teams have multiple goaltenders at their disposal. They may have three guys that can play, but not play at the level that you need to make a Stanley Cup run. So for me, if you don't have an A number one set, they're in trouble. And I think that's why I would have looked at somebody else to come in and be the backup. I know I work with guys that, I mean, Staggy fights with me all the time saying, you know, he believes in Casey DeSmith. He thinks he can get it done for them. I used to feel that way, you know, in years past, but when he started to be injury prone and then he's had these moments where he doesn't even look like himself, I don't know that I'm a believer, and that's, I feel bad saying it because Casey's a good kid, but I just don't know that they are as good a team with him in goal, even when they're put together the way that we know they can be when everybody's healthy, as they are with Tristan Jarry. I mean, he's proven to be the answer there, and it's just a shame he's unavailable yet again.
Brian Metzer, Pittsburgh Penguins Radio Network. Yeah, Metzer, I don't think you have to argue about believer or not believer in Tristan Jarry. There's nothing to believe or disbelieve about 50 and 53 when you look at his entire body of work over the 5 years since he's been a Penguin. The numbers are what they are.
Yeah.
That's 50 and 53 on a team that's made the playoffs every year.
Yeah, that's what's kind of funny. I mean, and that's what people are going to constantly point to, Tim, is that that's going to be the Achilles heel of this team. And if usually the team that catches lightning in a bottle and finds a way to make a run, it's because their goaltender gets hot at the right time, and the Penguins have not situated themselves to be in position to do that. They have nobody now when Jari's not there to get hot. I was looking at numbers the other night, Tim, and it was funny. When you look at the goaltending stats for just the month of January, you have Jari with a sub-2 goals against in his 3 appearances, like a .950 save percentage, and the Smith was 3.6 or 3.8 in terms of the goals against, save percentage down around .880. That's terrible. I mean, you can't win in this league if your goaltender has a save percentage of .880. And I know he's not getting a lot of support. They're giving up a ton of shots, but that's the NHL, man. You got to make saves. And I've had that fight on postgame as well, because I was pointing out the goal that against the Caps that made it 2-1 and the Penguins had to tie it and then lose in overtime. If you look at that situation, or in the shootout, sorry, if you look at that one, yes, it deflected off Brock McGinn's stick potentially, but he still had a look right at it. It's a save you got to make. Then the last game that they played, there was a goal scored just like that. It may have tipped something in front, but he had a look right at it. You're an NHL goaltender. You got to get your glove on it. You got to get in front of it. And I don't see him doing that enough to give this team a chance to win whenever they're maybe not at their best.
Final couple of topics here for Brian Metz of the Pittsburgh Penguins Radio Network. I'll go back to the standings again, Metz. While I feel like the Penguins are potentially going to have to gasp and wheeze down the stretch of the regular season, I look at Buffalo, and that strikes me as a young team that's getting hot and figuring things out. And should have energy as part of a playoff race, too.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I mean, and in their last 10, they were 6-2-2. They started to heat up at the right time. I mean, I guess it's the right time if you think that they're not going to just go into a hole over the All-Star break here. But I think they started playing some quality hockey. They look more like the team that they were at the start of the season whenever they were opening up all the eyes. Them and the Devils, to be honest, were like the darlings of the National Hockey League there for a minute. But with the scoring ability that they have, their goaltending is starting to round into form. They got those stud blue liners that are all high-round draft picks. It's a team that I think I'd be looking over my shoulder at in a big way, and then the Penguins are. They're just 1 point ahead of them right now. And truth be told, the Islanders, though the Penguins have games in hand, are still right there. They've slumped lately, even though they won 2 straight going into the break. They were just 3-5-2 in their last 10, but they're just a couple points behind the Pens. And I'm not ready to write off Florida just yet either. The Penguins have games in hand on them, but they showed when they played the Penguins, they are going to go out and score in bunches. And if they get a good goaltending performance, which that night was kind of a gong show all the way around, but with a quality goaltending performance, if Spencer Knight gets himself back healthy or Bobrovsky lives up to his old Vezina hype, I think they can still be a really solid team. But as to your point, Tim, I think Buffalo is the team to watch right now that could kind of make a run at the Penguins and or Washington to take one of those two Metro teams out of the mix in terms of the wild card.
Finally, Mets, it's All-Star week. The All-Star game stinks, doesn't it?
I hate to say it. I know we talked a little bit about it last week, but it's a complete snoozer for me at this point. I know that they were thrilled when they made it to 3-on-3, and I think I'm over like divisional format too. I just don't like that. I wish they could just go back to having a game again, because even when they do the 3 games in it, or the 2 games in a championship, that just kind of bores me. I think it takes away from guys making a run at the MVP because they're not playing quite as much as they did back in the days when they played a full game. And I just still don't even have ideas for sprucing it up. But I think it's a snoozer. And even the skills competition, which used to be the marquee event in my view that made All-Star Weekend a lot of fun, I've been kind of bored with that as well. They just put too many bells and whistles into it, which I know people eat up. I don't even know how to fix that either, Tim. I'll be watching it, of course, because we do, you know, for our job, but I don't know that I'm near as excited as I once was. It used to be something that I couldn't wait for, and now it's kind of like, boy, I might just wait until the Penguins play on February 7th to get back into hockey mode.
It's almost to the point where you have to start asking yourself, if you're in the NHL league office, if we're working this hard to make it interesting, it's probably not interesting.
Yeah, I mean, even when they were in Vegas, everyone thought it was so cool that they were flipping pucks into the fountain and they were, you know, doing the trick shots there. the guys couldn't even see where the targets were. And then you could, it was hard to see them. And the fact that you had to record the street blackjack early in the day, it wasn't even live and all this stuff. I don't know. The All-Star game shouldn't have cutscenes. I don't know. I was kind of put off by all of that. And people thought I was a jerk because they drank it all in and thought it was the greatest thing. And you're right. If you have to work that hard to make it interesting, it's not that interesting anymore. And I'm not saying do away with it, but you got to find some way to spruce it up. Go back to doing the world teams or the national teams or something, even for a year. What they should do is have some event that they have all of the different formats that they did, have some sort of thing where they maybe the prior year during the draft lottery or something, the winning GM spins a wheel and whatever it lands on for format is what they do for next year's All-Star game. Because at least you have a chance of it being different year to year.
The wheel of death.
Yeah, the wheel of death. That's exactly what it sounds like. Or, hey, there's that Blake Shelton show now, Barmageddon, where they have the wheel of, I don't even know what they call it. There's some kind of wheel that you land on things that get a point if you're behind. Because my mother made me watch this with her the other day. She loves that guy. And if you are behind in the games of chance in his bar, you spin it and it lands on things like eat a cow's tongue or eat a piece of fried butter or something ridiculous like that. One guy had to do a shot of mayonnaise mixed with vodka or something. Yeah, that's kind of what they should do.
I could do that for $1 million. Sure, I could do that. And I would watch others do
that. Maybe that's what they need to do. Yeah, make the NHL players do those tasks and stunts. That might be fun. Make them go out and do like Fear Factor. Put your hand in this tank of tarantulas, Austin Matthews.
Well,
how's that treat you?
How about this? Just let everybody line up and, you know, slap Trevor Zegras in the face or something like that. That seems to be a popular notion these days. Mets, I appreciate it. We'll catch up next week after the All-Star break and in advance of the Penguins return game on the 7th? Is that right?
Yeah, February 7th. Colorado Avalanche at PPG Paints Arena.
Oh, your Stanley Cup champions in town. We'll preview that with Mets a week from today here on the Breakfast of the Bench podcast.